Thank you, Judy, for that. As always, we appreciate you sharing with us your talents. As we start this Christmas holiday season, the question that I ask myself an awful lot as I'm getting messages ready, or as we're getting, especially during this Christmas holiday time, I ask myself the question of what the title, and it's the title of the message, what does Christmas mean? Now, maybe my mind works a little different. I've been told I'm not all right, and so I understand that. But I wonder, what does Christmas mean to different people? I wonder what Christmas means to a mother who has lost a husband, and she finds herself taking care of, maybe 3 or 4 children, working every day, never quite feeling like she's getting ahead. What does Christmas mean to her? I wonder what Christmas means to the 80-year-old man in Zimbabwe who's sentenced in front of a hut, doesn't know anything about malls, doesn't know anything about shopping, doesn't know anything about any of the stuff that we see in these United States as far as what Christmas has become commercially. I wonder what Christmas means, my little brother for quite a while has been involved in ministry to the orphans in China. And I often wonder what does Christmas mean to them who have seem like maybe they have no hope. I wonder what Christmas means to the missionaries that are halfway across the world right now. I wonder what Christmas means to our military, to our soldiers who are halfway across the world right now, not with their families. See, I get the feeling that maybe sometimes what we think about Christmas to really mean, or what our society thinks Christmas means, is not even close to what it really is. See, to merchants, it's a busy time of the year. It's a time to stay open longer and later, to start Black Friday a little bit earlier. It's a time when they hope to make enough revenue to carry them through the entire year. To some employees, maybe it means a Christmas bonus, a little more money to have, and to be able to do a little bit more at this Christmas holiday time. For teenagers and adults, I think it probably, for some, it means a time of parties, a time of fun, a time of celebrating with friends. I'm almost positive for children, it's a time of great impatience. It seems like that day never comes. But sometimes I'm afraid, as I watch our society and as I watch our world, I wonder if sometimes we aren't like some folks that I read about. They were decided to throw a party in honor of a very special guest, someone who was very special to them. They sent out invitations. They rented and decorated a hall. They had some great food catered. All the people came together at the designated time, but to their surprise, the guest of honor wasn't there. As they were there and they got talking about it, they realized that they had messed up. They had one oversight, and that was very embarrassed. They finally figured out nobody invited the guest of honor to the party. I'm afraid sometimes that's how our world is. Amen. Oh, we've got the celebrating part down pretty good. The gifts, the decorating, the buying of presents, preparing elaborate meals. But I'm afraid sometimes we forgot the honored guest. And Dr. Luke, in his writing in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, I think seeks to correct that and always bring us back to true north, if you want to say it that way, to always remind us what the Christmas season is. But he also gives us the answer to my question, what does Christmas mean? It might mean different things to different people, but God's word makes it pretty plain of what it can mean for each and every one of us. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of whom his favor rests.'" The fact that God made this announcement to shepherds first really, I think, helps us to understand the real meaning of Christmas, about what does Christmas really mean. You have to understand, shepherds were not high up on the social status, on the social ladder of that day and time. They were far the other end from King Herod and from the influential people of that day. Because you see, they lived with their animals out inside. They slept with those animals. They cared for those animals. They weren't very respected. They didn't have a lot of power or prestige. But yet God came to them to tell them. Now that's significant and that's important. Verse 11 says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." In that very simple announcement, I think God's word lays out for us some very important truths. Dr. Luke relays those truths to you and I about what Christmas really means. Now, before I go any further, I need to let everybody understand, I'm not against the presents. I'm not against the celebration. I'm not even against the Christmas tree and the lights and all the decorations. I'm not against those things at all. I enjoy receiving gifts just as much as anybody else does. But let us not forget what it really means, what we're really celebrating. And what we're really celebrating is that unto you and I, a Savior has been born. His name is Jesus Christ. And again, as Luke shares this story with us, we learn some very, very important truths. And there's three of them, and y'all are going to be pleasantly surprised because I'm already halfway through this sermon. See, it does pay to give me a Sunday off every now and then, right? First of all, number one, this simple announcement tells us that God knows who you are, and that blank is that you are important to God. You're important to him. It tells us no matter how insignificant you may think you are, no matter how insignificant you think that your job or your ministry or your position or your service, no matter how insignificant you think it is, to God, it's very significant because you're important to him. You know, all throughout Scripture, We see God honoring and using the people and the things that the world often overlooks and ignores, don't we? The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:26-28, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things." God uses those things that the world tends to ignore. God uses them for great and mighty things. Let me give you a couple examples. There was a young Jewish man, boy, who kind of had a problem, or his brothers had a problem with him, and they sold him into slavery. And he was treated terribly. You know, the story that we find in the Old Testament of Joseph. Of anybody that there was, he would have been the last one that you would have thought of, or the world would have thought of, to come and to do something very significant for the government of that day and time. But when God wanted to deliver a very special message to the mighty Pharaoh, he sent a slave, Joseph, who was brought out of the dungeon to interpret the dream for Pharaoh. I'll give you another example. When God decided to select a mother for his son on this earth, he could have had plenty of choices, didn't he? But he didn't go. He went past the fashion salons. He went past the beauty parlors. He went past the furs and the diamonds and the gold. And he went to an insignificant village by the name of a place called Nazareth. And not only did he find such an insignificant place, as far as the world was concerned, he chose probably the least likely that the world would have chose to bring his son into this earth. He chose a young peasant girl. She didn't dress in designer clothes. She didn't have a sophisticated education. She didn't have anything that the world would look to and say, oh, there's a good reason to usher in the God of this world, or to bring usher God into this world. But God saw something, didn't he? He saw that she was important to him. She was significant to him. And he selected her to be the mother of his only begotten son. You see, what Christmas means through that announcement of that unto you a child is born. But even more than that, the whole Christmas story tells us that our lives are important, that we're important. And just in case you didn't get the point, he didn't have his son be born at Mount Sinai Hospital in Jerusalem, did he? He had him born in a stable, not surrounded by gynecologists and nurses and assistants, but instead by sheep and shepherds, and wrapped in swaddling clothes. The world looks at that and says, that's foolish. But God says the foolishness, God's word says the foolishness of God's word is wiser than man's wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. That's 1 Corinthians 1:25. See, when God makes his announcement, he delivers it to the shepherds. It's like Jesus is saying, just like Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, God cares about the sparrows and the lilies. He cares about you and I. He cares about the shepherds. And it tells us that our life is significant. And we need to hear that, don't we? You and I need to hear that. But as I was mentioning at the very beginning, there's those others that I wonder about what Christmas means to them. They need to hear that as well. That 12 and 13-year-old young boy and young girl that have lived almost their entire life in an orphanage. And they know and they see all the younger children being adopted. They need to know that God cares about them. The mothers of children without husbands, they need to know that God cares about them. That man in a foreign country that has no concept and no idea about malls and decorations and all that, he needs to hear that God cares. Let me just put a plug in right here right quick. That's why we love and we support the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Amen? Because it takes that message to where you and I can't necessarily go. And they take a message that says that they are as important to God as you and I are. And that is absolutely true. What does Christmas mean? It means you're important to God and I'm important to God. And every soul that walks this earth and has ever walked this earth is important to God. Second thing, what does it mean? Not only means that we're important, it means that our life matters. I don't know if your mind ever goes the way mine does, but I'm often wonder. I wonder if those shepherds, of all those days and nights that they spent out there, I wonder if they ever got discouraged. I wonder if they ever thought, you know what? Does it really make any difference that I stay up here and I sit up all night long and I watch these sheep? Does it really make any difference? Now, the reason I think that is because I think there's times in our lives when we ask that same question. God, does it really make a difference? Does my life really matter? And in this Christmas message, he answers it. When he says, unto you a Savior is born. You want to know how much your life matters? It matters that a Savior was born for you. Yeah, it matters. I know we get discouraged. But you see, when God comes and makes this announcement to the shepherds, he's telling them, listen, your life matters. You are worthwhile. Life is my gift to you, and therefore live it as it is, and that is a golden moment. See, everybody's life matters. You've probably heard the story, but it's one of my favorite ones. It was kind of a long time ago. It came out in a cartoon strip. But it showed this passage, and it showed these two Kentucky farmers were just visiting by the fence one day, and they were going back at talking about different things. But the caption finally says, well, he said, did anything exciting happen today or yesterday or today? Right, so anything exciting happened yesterday? The other farmer looks at him and says, nah, nothing exciting. He said, well, not the only thing is there was a baby born over at Tom Lincoln's house yesterday, but nothing exciting ever happens around here. Now, I love that story because you and I both know that was something pretty significant, wasn't it? For that baby that was born was going to become the president of the United States. He was going to usher in a period and a time in our country's history that has never been equaled since. But see, again, the way my mind goes, I just wonder if maybe on that Christmas morning, two guys in Nazareth were leaning against a fence. And if one asked the other one, well, anything happened exciting yesterday? The other one probably said, ah, you know, nothing very exciting ever happens at Nazareth. Only thing I know is kind of interesting is some girl had a baby in a stable last night. But you know, nothing exciting ever happens in Nazareth. See, life matters, doesn't it? Your life matters. Our life matters to God. And we need to remember that. There's a third thing that I want to share with you, and then we're going to close. Not only are you important to God, not only does your life matter, but third and finally, your faith matters. Your faith matters as well. You see, shepherds were men of faith. They probably had more faith than the Pharisees and the scribes put together, actually. But they had a faith. They believed that a Messiah was going to come. They believed that God's chosen people that to God's chosen people a Messiah was going to come. And it got them through very difficult times. It got them through times of poverty, times of enslavement, times of exile. And when they were going through those things, they would think, God promised us a Messiah. As a matter of fact, I could take you to a few passages. They were really saying, let the Messiah come now. Come, Messiah, come. Over and over again, they would pray. I wonder, I'm sure there were some who quit praying, who gave up hope, who decided that God wasn't going to do that. But then when those angels appeared to those shepherds, and they said, we bring you a glad tidings of good news, for unto you this day a Savior has been born. You know what they were telling him? Your faith matters. God has honored your faith. God has honored your trusting in him, and he has sent the Messiah. I wonder if there's times in your life when you ask the question, God, does it matter? Does my life matter? Does my faith matter? And in the Christmas message, what Christmas means is that, yes, your faith does matter. God has sent and he has been faithful, and so you have a good right to place your faith in him. For he sent to us his son. One day Jesus will return. I've been reading a book, I've been talking about it in Wednesday night Bible studies by Dr. Alcorn. Have a little bit better idea about what that day is going to be like. And we're talking about that, and I'm going to be sharing that more and more on Wednesday nights, so I encourage you to come and be here for that. But you know what that book has really done is make me get even more excited about that day when Jesus returns. And we realize that our faith is going to matter. There is a reason why we are faithful. There is a reason why we place our trust in him. And though you may not realize it, you may think, well, or maybe you never thought the Christmas message really had anything to do with faith. It has everything to do with faith. Because the people had been waiting for a Messiah for well over 400 years. And when those angels appeared to those shepherds out in that field, they might as well have said, your faith makes a difference. And here's your reward. For unto you a child has been born, a Savior. There's a beautiful song that contains these words. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us the humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassionate, pure, unabounding love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. That's what Christmas means. Amen. That's what Christmas is about. There's a reason that I started with this message. Because if we start with those of us that are in this building this morning, and every chance we get, we remind everybody that we come in contact with, this is what Christmas is really all about. Then, the giving of the gifts, the gathering as families, the eating of feasts, it just adds to that, doesn't it? Like I said, I'm not opposed to those other things at all. As long as we remember that the reason that we do those is because of what God did for you and I on that Christmas morning 2,000 or so years ago. Remember, you're important, your life matters, and faith matters. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,